and the ushers have some Bibles they can loan you while you're here. Let's go over to Mark's Gospel in chapter 10. Now, I'd like to say just a couple of words before I tell you what I'm going to tell you, and just say a couple of words first about debt, that the Bible says the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a servant to the lender. The Bible also says that you shall be the head, not the tail, the lender and not to borrow. So in fact, God plans for you to lend. So borrowing cannot be a sin, because if it's a sin, then you'd be participating in somebody else's sin. So it's not that. It's just God knows that borrowing will bring you into bondage, especially if it's not controlled. And that it's not God's best for your life. Say amen to that. It's not God's best for your life. You know, I was teaching over in Philadelphia the last couple of days, and I was talking about the steps of faith. And we were talking about the process of how faith works. And I told them, you know, first you get saved and, you know, you're still thinking like the world, pretty much. You got your spirit saved, but your mind is still unrenewed. And tendency we have, you know, we listen to newspapers and listen to media. And the media said there are no jobs. Jobs are going away, so forth. And so we end up saying things like that. But then we get in this word, we go to our foundation class, and we come out of there, and we have a little bit different testimony. I'm gonna get me a job. I'm gonna believe God to get me a job. Now, you basically want a job, anything, just right now, that anything is halfway suitable, I'll take that. Well, that's the second phase. But then there's another level of maturity when you say, like my wife did when we were down in Tulsa, we're going to make a job. So we actually specified on a little 3x5 card the exact kind of job we wanted. The next thing we know, we believe God, and she got that job to match the card. So notice, that first step, there are no jobs. Second step of faith, I'm going to get me some kind of a job. Third step, I'm going to make me a job. I don't care if nobody else is getting a job. We don't get a job up in here. But the fourth step is, I think I'll make jobs for other people. I think I'll make jobs for other people. Now notice, each one of these is a step where you have developed more knowledge of the word and more faith. And debt is the same way, that people hear about it. I had to hear about it first. And once I hear about it, God said he'll give you the land bit by bit. So the first thing we did is, when we believe God for our house in Minnesota, we believe God for it. And when we believe God for a big down payment. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's where our faith was, you see. And we were thanking God that we got that down payment. Hallelujah. That was a blessing to us. But then we came to Chicago. We had a little bit more faith developed. Believe God for the whole house paid in full. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. So I'm just saying the same thing with debt. When I first heard about it, you know, I was really trying to figure out how it was going to come out. How could I live without debt? How do you buy a house or a car or whatever without debt? Because I'd never heard about that before. And same thing. So I came bit by bit. I mean, I remember the day I had plastic surgery in the house. I cut up all those cards, those credit cards. And I remember the day we did that, cut them all up and so forth. Why? We were going to make sure that, you know, this is the way we're going to live. We're going to live like this. Now, I'm not telling everybody to do that. God spoke to our hearts, and because we were determined, we're going to really live by faith and get this debt out of our system. Now we do have credit cards and we use them, but we pay it off at the end of the month. Say amen to that. All cards, just pay them all off at the end of the month. We just use it mainly for convenience, and mainly cards like American Express or something. But we use it for convenience. Now, my point to you is I didn't do all of this first day. I came through some stages of it. Some people come through much faster than others come through. But what you got to do to the word is you got to apply grace to it. If you just apply the law to it, the letter by itself killeth. It'll condemn you. Your faith won't work, and you'll wonder, no, why I can't get out of this. But you have to apply grace to it. You have to understand that when Peter started walking on that water, had come out of that boat and walking on that water like Jesus, all of a sudden he began to sink. But he cried out, Lord, save me. That's one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. And when Jesus reached out and pulled him back up, and he said, oh, Peter, why did you doubt? I remember when God was speaking to me about leaving the company that I was with and coming out. Three times I set times that I was going to leave, but every time that date started coming to me, kind of lost my courage. But pretty soon he gave me a word, and the word was out of Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. No man that's left house or mother, father, sister, brother, lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. I meditated that word. What did that word do? It gave me revelation. I didn't have information anymore. I had revelation. And it gave me strength to do what I was supposed to do. Next thing you know, I left that place. How about Peter? Remember Peter? Peter said, hey, Lord, I'll never forsake you. Don't even worry about me. Those others may leave you, but I'm going to be with you till the end. What happened? Jesus said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. Was Jesus right? I'm just saying it takes a little time to convert the heart. Oh, our intentions may be good. How many of you have made a mistake in your life? Raise your hand. Put your hands down. How many of you made two mistakes in your life? Put your hands down. How many of you say two of the same mistakes in your life? That's what I'm talking about. Same thing. God takes us from faith to faith. And you got to do that, because if you don't apply grace to it, I remember when I was fasting and fast 3 weeks, I'd fast a week at a time, and then I'd eat a few days and then fast again. I remember Bishop Brager, who's gone on to be with the Lord, he saw me and saw all the weight that I'd lost. He told me, Bill, come here. I said, yes, sir. He says, it's by grace and grace alone. I will never forget he said that. See, he wanted to take the struggle out of my life to follow Christ, because it doesn't have to be a struggle like that. Somebody said, give to it hurts. I don't want it to hurt. You know, that's what I'm trying to get rid of, all pain and hurt. So my point to you is understand that God intends for you to be the lender and not the borrower. And sometimes it takes just a little bit of time to move into that. Meanwhile, don't get condemned. Don't get condemned if you get pressure on you and you have to do something and kids need something or something like that. Don't get condemned. My point to you is that Jesus is still working with you. He's still there to pull you back up on the water so you can try it again. And one day you're going to get where we are and where others are. I owe no man nothing but the leaven. You know, you get houses paid for, cars paid for, and we paying and helping other folks and so forth and so on. My point to you is you'll get there as well. So I'm just saying it's not the law. We're not under the law. We are under grace. And thank God for grace. Because if it wasn't for grace, where would we be? Say amen. The law says if you don't do right, just kill you. Praise God. You know, if kids act up, kill them. But no, thank God we're not under the law. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me? Say praise the Lord on that. Yeah, okay. So being out of debt is a good thing, because it can really bring you into bondage and it'll mortgage your future. So you want to get debt out of your life as soon as you can. Also, now let's look at this particular verse, verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is what? Impossible. But not with God. For with God, come on, all things are possible. Now, let me share with you what I want to share. We were at our Breakfast of Champion meeting yesterday, and one of the dear sisters asked, Pastor, what are the steps to actually either receiving some finances or being able to operate in this thing and have finances to come into your life? Because for the most people have the problem in the area of provision. And God knows that. Believe me, He does know that. So there are three steps here to actually what I call financial freedom. Three steps. Are you with me? The first step is that God is your source. God is your source. Now, what we said here is not only is He your source, but He is your only source. Now, God may use different resources. In other words, for Elijah, he had a bird to bring him some provision. In another place, he had a fish to have money in his mouth. All of those are resources. God will use people and things as resources. Even your job, He'll use it as a resource. But that job is not your source. God is your source. Say, God is my source. And once you connect it with God, you've just connected with the impossible. So there are no financial impossibilities in your life. From now on, oh, I didn't get many amens on that. Are you in the kingdom? Well, there are no financial impossibilities in your life. Once you come into the kingdom, no financial impossibilities. All right, the next thing is, the next one is, give that it may be given unto you. Give that it may be given unto you. Now, that is important. Why is that important? Now, God sees the end from the beginning. So He knows what you are going to need. All right, let's look at the scripture that would prove that out. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. If you don't have it, just look on the board. They should have it right there. I listed all these scriptures down, so they should have them popped and ready to go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, where? In Christ. All right? So notice what it says, He hath blessed us. It didn't say He's going to bless us, because there's no future in God. God knows the end from where? The beginning. So He knows what you're going to need today, even from yesterday. Say amen to this. So you're not surprising God. Oh, boy, man, I didn't know she was going to need that. No. God has seen the end from the beginning. So He has blessed you with all what? Spiritual blessing. Well, Pastor, I need some car tires on my car. Okay, before your car tires are natural, they are first spiritual. You cannot have anything exist in the natural without a spiritual component. You with me? All right, so notice He said He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Next verse. The next verse says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. When were you chosen? Now, you might have gotten saved back in 2002 or whatever have you, but when were you chosen? See, God knew you were going to be in here before you came in here. See? So you were chosen before the foundation of the world. Well, if you were chosen before the foundation of the world, when were you blessed? Because he knew what you're going to need. So He just did it all. He chose you. He blessed you. He put away everything that you would need. Now He's sitting down. All right, well, let's go a step further. So if that be the case, when God called Abraham to take Isaac, his son, up to this mountain and offer him up as an offering, Abraham obeyed God. He took him up there And once he got up there and lifted up this knife to offer up his son, the angel said, stop. Now I know that you fear God, you obey him. And Abram looked over and he saw what caught in the bush? A ram. And he used the ram for a sacrifice. The ram was a substitute. The ram represented Jesus. He said, you don't have to die. I'm going to die in your place. That's what it's all about. Say amen to that. Now, question. When did the ram get there? Remember, everything's done. God doesn't start till he's finished. He finished everything in everybody's life, and now it started. Isn't this wonderful? Now, how did the ram become visible? Why didn't he see the ram the moment he first came up there? It became visible through his action of faith. That through your action of faith, put the second point up there that I'm making in terms of the three points. Give that it may be given unto you. Give that. God's ready to give, but you got to give something that he may give it to you. Say amen to this. It's already there. But the law says you're going to reap what you what? So you've got to sow something. So you're going to give so he can release that to you. The ram is already there. Come on, your car is already there. The house is already there. Clothes is already there. Tuition is already there. Everything, rent money, already there. All you got to do is give so that you can see your rent money. Amen. So that's the second one. Third one. Expect a miracle from God. From God now, not from Bebe, Boo Boo, you know, all them folk. No, you're not expecting from people. You're not hanging around somebody because they have something. You're expecting it from who? God. Faith is a substance of things what? Hope for. The word hope is a word of meaning to expect with an outstretched neck. In other words, you're looking for the bus to come. And you're expecting the bus to come anytime. Now, suppose you're at the bus stop and you get distracted. You start talking to your friend and so forth. Next thing you know, ooh, the bus passed. Whoa, I got distracted. You see, when you don't expect from God, your blessings can walk right by you and you not see it. Because the devil's job is to distract you so that you won't see your harvest when it comes. Say amen to that. But folks, when you are expecting from God, you got an outstretched neck. Oh, I'm going to see this when it comes in. And I'm going to tell you, you cannot sow a seed and not get a harvest. Because he said, if you do give, it shall be given unto you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man, that shall he also reap. You are guaranteed a return. Now get your neck out and start looking for your harvest. Say amen to that. Give the Lord a praise and prepare your tithes and your offering. Holy God.